Yeah. Hit the scene, kill shit, we in the murder business.
Not focusing on gender, but somebody dies from domestic violence-related incidents every week around Australia. I spoke with Operations Manager of Domestic Violence Action Centre in Ipswich, Rebecca Sherman, and she refers to the support services they provide as being in the business of homicide prevention.
I guess it's because one of the key risk indicators for imminent violence or death is separation. So we have a funny response, I guess, still to women in DV situations, which is to suggest that they should leave to keep themselves safe, when in fact it can be one of the most unsafe things that they can do. The fear that they may be killed is often a genuine fear. We would never encourage women to leave if they don't want to or they think that they might die. But it might be something that we work towards over time with a more comprehensive safety plan.
So who needs to step in at these points? Is it the police? Is it the justice system? Where does that...
There's a range of different options. I think we need, much like we need a suite of responses for victims, we also need a suite of responses for perpetrators of violence. Some will respond quite well to things like a domestic violence order that requires them to be of good behaviour and not commit domestic violence. So those who have a respect for authority will definitely maybe abide by an order like that. There are others who orders like that will just make them angry or even more keen to control their partner. Yes, we do need more intervention for perpetrators. We need systems to hold them to account instead of focusing on women and trying to suggest that women are responsible for making themselves safe in the face of their partner's violence or ex-partner's violence. We don't do that to any other victim of any other violent crime. For example, when the one punch could kill, no one asks why. And legitimately, no one should ask what the victim was doing. The onus should always be on the perpetrator. Largely. So there is slowly being a shift, but yes, largely, unfortunately, that's the case. And our systems are structured that way to some degree.
Is that the media's responsibility to change how they're reporting or the focus, or is that the justice system that needs to change that?
I think we all have a responsibility, and that includes media and the justice response, but it also includes the community more largely in terms of intervening in violence safely and acknowledging that there is no excuse for the use of violence in personal relationships.
Right. Rosie Batty said in an article recently that the responsibility kind of in how the media reports these kinds of cases, you need to see a change in that. What sort of change would you like to see?
I guess what I would consider to be more responsible reporting is naming domestic violence as domestic violence when it's seen, not calling it things like lovers' tiffs or domestic disputes. The reality is the physical violence is just one symptom of violence in relationships, and generally there's an ongoing pattern of behaviour that can be identified if you assess it. Also not suggesting that domestic violence is somehow mutual combat, which it's not. Overall, in terms of when I say we are in the business of homicide prevention, the reason we say that is that domestic violence is the number one most predictable type of homicide that we have in our society. We know the risk indicators largely. There's been more and more research about what indicates risk and what indicates high risk in situations like that. And there are a number of key indicators that usually are present in women's lives prior to them being killed that lead us to believe the fact that we could have prevented it if we acted differently.
And what are those key indicators?
There's quite a big list, actually, but some of the key ones would be things like coercive control, especially in the form of high-level stalking and surveillance. So if women are experiencing being monitored and controlled in terms of who they spend their time with, where they go, even to the level of what they're wearing, how they spend their money, those are concerning behaviours. A lot of women think the dangerous violence is the physical violence. It's not necessarily the case.
Right.
Stalking and surveillance are extremely concerning. High levels of what we call sexual obsessive jealousy or obsessive sexual jealousy, where they're being accused of cheating with no grounds, made to admit to affairs that they're not having, made to engage in sexual acts that they're not interested in. So high levels of sexual violence are also concerning. Strangulation would be another top one as well. So attempts to choke or strangle a woman should be taken very seriously, as should threats to kill.
Right.
When you
have women coming to court with evidence of these key indicators and the magistrates aren't enforcing domestic violence orders or sending these guys to prison, what do you say about the responsibility of the justice system.
So, yes, I guess that's where both police and magistrates have more work to do, and they do it well sometimes. So we need to be clear that there are times that the system does work very well and women are protected, but there are unfortunately other times when women experience what we call a generic or general systems failure, where at some point in the system, at the police, at magistrates, at any point really, including at our service sometimes too, the system has broken down. It is, the reality is we not only have to all do better, we all have to work together to do better. I heard feelings. Click, clack, bang, bang, we in the murder business. My outfit, the murk bitches. Click, clack, bang.